This one's called The Elder Brother. There he was again, hanging out with the local mobsters, bookies, and assorted rowdies of the town. He'd asked one of them to join his mission project, and that guy not only accepted, he invited him to a party to meet his friends, people like him. Well, that brought a howl from the local church leaders and seminary faculty, and they called him on the carpet. How can a man of God be friends with that crowd? You need to clean up your act. His answer was quite remarkable. He told them three stories. One was about a young man who asked his father to give him his inheritance early. In a faraway city, he blew all the money in extravagant living and became destitute. Finally, he came to his senses and went home where his father welcomed him and celebrated his return. It's a wonderful story from which millions have learned about God's grace and love, even to those who disappoint him badly, betraying his favor and his trust. But he wasn't telling that story to young men about to waste their fortunes in sin. The real point of the story, to his audience of judges, comes in the second half. You know, the part about the boy's elder brother, the second in command of the estate, the faithful, upright, principled, hard-working man, but angry and sulking over the extravagant celebration of his brother's return. We've been taught many lessons from the elder brother's failings. He didn't know how good he had it. He wanted more reward for his faithfulness. He was ungrateful, jealous, selfish, unforgiving. He had not because he asked not, and others. Those are all true of him, and they're valuable lessons for us. But the elder brother's real problem, the one Jesus wanted to show his critics and his listening disciples, and the disciples listening here, was different and much more serious. He didn't care that his brother was lost. If he had, he'd have rejoiced with the others. He didn't even care about his father's grief over his brother, and he wasn't even happy that that grief was relieved. I'm convinced this parable is really about the elder brother because Jesus first told him two stories. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one, doesn't leave the 99 and go search for him? And what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one, doesn't turn the house upside down to find it? If the elder brother hadn't gone out to find his brother and save him from whatever fate and depravity it was leading to, he wasn't about seeking and saving the lost. He really wanted nothing to do with his rebellious, prodigal, bad news brother. I don't want to be an elder brother, do you? I can just about live with the fact that I'm a bit scared to go seeking the lost, that I'm ill-equipped, I say I'm too busy, feel too timid about it, or I'm just plain lazy. But having understood this parable, I can't accept not caring. I can't tell my father how good I've been and how he ought to reward me, instead of caring that my brothers and sisters are lost. The elder brother was about the family business, and he was evidently faithful and competent. Is the body of Christ in our town like that? Concerned first about the family business, spending our effort on keeping the body healthy and comfortable, but with little concern about those who aren't part of it? With many wonderful exceptions, don't we have to say yes? What was the first love the Ephesian church lost? The Revelation doesn't say. We know they were working hard, persevering, defending the truth, standing against the pagan culture, delivering the goods in their view. Just like the elder brother, could they have lost their love for the lost? Maybe they'd at first loved spreading the good news and winning souls in Ephesus, but now were focused on themselves. I want my Christian life to be about the lost. I want to participate in and support ministries of all kinds, helping the needy, counseling the troubled, rescuing the abused, teaching the kids, but with a larger goal. If the elder brother had sought out the younger and found him penniless, starving, ill, injured, he would first have fed him, given him shelter, tended his wounds. But then he'd have told him of his father's love and the forgiveness and grace and abundant life that awaited him in spite of his rebellion. He'd have urged him to return, prayed for him, tried everything he knew, and put in the time to win him back. Lord, would you help me? Help me and all your followers to have a love for the lost. Pastors, elders, deacons, ministry staff, lay leaders, help us to be more effective. Please send the Holy Spirit to kindle or rekindle that love for the lost in every Christian and in every church. And if it's your will, use me in the process.